I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Hope you're having a good night. We're at halftime. 2 hours of the show down, 2 more on the way. Shout outs to everybody listening on our local CBS Sports Radio affiliates across North America. Shout outs to everybody listening on CBSSportsRadio.com, the freeradio.com app, SiriusXM channel 206. And yes, you can also listen on Apple Music. Isn't that cool? Just go ahead and type in radio and type in CBS Sports Radio and boom, there you have it. I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. We know times are tough. Rocket Mortgage is here to help. You can holler at them 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com if you need any type of mortgage assistance. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. A big shout out to my main man, Chris and Stu, who are helping to steer this show. We've obviously been talking about what we would like to see in the world of sports. And thank you to every single caller who reached out. This show is about you. That is the point. I want to hear from you. I want to get your thoughts. I want to get your opinions. Some opinions are a little stronger than others. Some are more hilarious. But I appreciate it. The phone number 855-212-4CBS. And at any moment, any point in time, if you're into the social media thing, you can always tweet me. My Twitter is at JRSportBrief. It's a wild world that we live in, and we spent the first 2 hours, just a lot of folks had opinions on whether or not we're realistically going to have football later on this year, both from an NFL side and a college side. Each league and each version, quote unquote, of football comes with its own challenges. Dr. Fauci says it's going to be wild to have NFL football unless players are tested more regularly, and then also football takes place in a bubble. How the hell are you going to do that with all the teams? And shout outs to our caller. I think it was Patrick, I believe. He said, well, why can't the NFL do what, you know, Dana White did with the UFC? Dana White's going to have Fight Island? I don't know. Let's have Football City. Let's pick a city that no one cares about. I don't know. And let's just have football. It's a wild idea. It's a wild concept. Football city, football county, football island. It's a lot of football fields. I don't know how you do that. It's an interesting situation. But having said that, we still have hope. I can hope for a season. You know, I think we're going to have players, unfortunately, who will continue to test positive, just like everyday people in the general population. Athletes are not exempt. They're not living in an isolated world from the rest of us. And then maybe, who knows, maybe the league has to push back the year. Maybe they go ahead and they push back the season. We don't know. But we still have plenty of activity. If you are a fan of the New York Jets, you should probably actually pause, ask yourself, why are you a fan of the New York Jets? Hey, Chris, I know you're there, Chris. Why are you a fan of the New York Jets?
It's a curse I was born with, JR.
it's passed down for generation to generation. Well, Jamal Adams is not a fan of the New York Jets. He actually gets a paycheck from the New York Jets, and he doesn't even want to be there. The New York Jets seemingly can never get out of their own way. They have players, they bring in talent, and they find a way to screw it up. Jamal Adams, one of the best safeties in the NFL, and he wants to go. He wants a new contract. The Jets won't give him one. They're like, hey, you're not due. You're still in the contract. Get over it. Now, if you recall, earlier this week, I actually had Jamal Adams' agent on the line. Kevin Connor, Universal Sports Management, was here with us. We spoke about a lot of these NFL protocols. We spoke about the social justice movement. We spoke about his career as an agent. He doesn't just represent Jamal Adams. Also represents Tre'Davious White. This guy has some of the best defensive backs in the NFL just as his clients. That's big time. And I asked him specifically about Jamal Adams and his contract status with the Jets. Just take a listen to what Kevin Connor said to me.
Well, I have to respectfully say, you know, he's a New York Jet, and we'll leave it at that. And, you know, they drafted him in 2017. He's been a hell of a player with the New York Jets, all pro, I believe, you know, and of course I'm biased that he is the face of that franchise. And so he's a New York Jet.
It's unfortunate that that may not last too much longer because the Jets can't even get out of their own way. Good talent, it's like any business. Good talent is hard to come by. If you have an opportunity to keep the man, just do it. Get it over with. And you know, this is why the Jets don't win anything, because they never have a plan. The New York Jets are a franchise that hired a head coach who has a losing or had a losing record when he came in, and Adam Gase. The New York Jets hired a loser as a head coach. The guy couldn't even win the press conference. The next day, an hour after the press conference, it wasn't about how he said he's going to help the New York Jets. It was about his eyes bulging out of his head and how awkward he was. That sounds about right for the New York Jets. And then the general manager that they had, and Mike Maccagnan, they go ahead and let him do the draft, and then they fire him, and then Gase is there, and Gase is now looking for the general manager, and now you have the loser head coach who's helping to run operations for the team. This is just... I don't even know how to put this into words. You out there, listeners, would you hire... This is like asking your children to pick the babysitter. It's like, hey, we got five choices of babysitters. You got babysitter here, A, or A, she has amazing grades. A straight A student getting scholarships and she needs a little bit of extra money. And then you have babysitter B here who is basically a delinquent. Is on the road to nowhere. And then you ask you bring in your child and say, well, which one do you want to watch you while I'm gone? The New York Jets just trip over themselves. And now Jamal Adams has basically said maybe it's time to move on. And this is why, in regards to Sam Darnold, I hope the New York Jets don't ruin the guy. You want Sam Darnold out on the field even more. You had guys like Leonard Williams, and he's now gone. And now it's the New York Jet way. So, yeah, if the New York Jets were passed down to you, I'm sorry, Chris. I apologize. You know, it's still some hope in rooting for another team. It's just real, real tough doing, and it's extremely unfortunate. So Jamal Adams wants out. from the New York Jets. Let's see if it blows over. And if you want to go down the East Coast just a little bit, 250 miles south, if you go to Washington, D.C., if you go to the DMV area, go to Maryland, we can talk about the Redskins. And no, nobody's clamoring to get out of there, not at least not publicly. But we know they're in a rebuilding situation. They have a new head coach in Ron Rivera. And Dwayne Haskins, if you follow him on social media, he's been all about the workouts. He's lost some weight, down in weight. He has to realize this is a new coach. He did not draft me. He's not married to me. And when you're 2-5 as a starter in your rookie year, go 7-7, yeah, you want to see some type of progress in your second go-round. Hopefully he gets that opportunity. I hope he does. But Dwayne Haskins isn't the only second-year player that has something to prove. You have other guys. You got Daniel Jones. You got Drew Locke. You have Kyler Murray. But as it relates to Dwayne Haskins, he says he's ready to get better at everything. I won't necessarily say it's just about football. It's with everything in life, Haskins said. I'm going to deliver. It's never a question about that. And he said he's dedicated to the game. I mean, outside of Terry McLaurin, I hope that some of his other wide receivers can step up and make his life a little bit easier. Hopefully they can go about running the football. I want to see Mr. Geist be healthy. It becomes tricky. You have Adrian Peterson. How long does AP continue to last? I believe Haskins can be a solid QB in the NFL. I also believe that he needs a little bit of help. I mean, he doesn't have the world at his fingertips like Kyler Murray. This dude was an offensive rookie of the year. Out there throwing for almost 4,000 yards and rushing for more than 500 by himself. Those numbers are going to go up. Now you got DeAndre Hopkins on the opposite side of Iron Man Fitzgerald. You got Kirk. They're going to run the ball with Kenyon Drake. He's going to have even more opportunities to run a football. You got Drew Locke. He only played 5 games last year. He's going to have more of an opportunity fully to show what he's worth instead of just, you know, rapping Young Jeezy and doing Buzz Lightyear on the field. And Dalton Risner, he was here on the show. And Dalton said Drew studies like a crazy person, basically. And I think John Elway, he's going through his share of quarterbacks. John Elway finally has to get this one right. I'd like to see Drew Locke succeed. I really would. And if you go back east, you think about another second-year quarterback. Man, this dude was just a turnover machine. And that's Daniel Jones. Taken 6th overall. Played 13 games. Had an excellent teacher in Eli Manning. 3,000 yards passing last year, 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 18 fumbles. Now, that ain't going to win you any football games. That is moving into Jameis Winston turnover territory. And I really love to see what's going to happen in the NFC East when you look at Haskins. When you look at Daniel Jones, which quarterback is going to end up playing longer? Which one is going to have more sway with their team? We've seen more Daniel Jones. We haven't seen a lot of Haskins. And he's at a disadvantage. And this is all predicated on if we even have football. That's the reality. So it's going to be tough for all of these players. But if you would ask me right now, which QB I think would have like the best career? Because I think that's better than thinking about who's going to have, the best second year season. I think Kyler Murray's going to have the best second year. And I would venture to say between the quarterbacks I just named, it's tough to say who's going to have a better career, but I'd also say Kyler Murray. We've seen him and Daniel more than we've seen Drew and Haskins. But I think Kyler Murray is in that space of his style is like the next QB up. He's that option quarterback. As long as Kyler doesn't get knocked around, take some lessons from Russell Wilson. Learn how to slide. Learn how to avoid the contact. Learn how to avoid the beating to elongate your career. This is a guy who did play baseball. He had the option. He could have been an Oakland A, but he chose football. And that's maybe a good idea. Because if he was an Oakland A, who knows where he would have got moved to next. Hopefully they build that stadium out there. That's something else that gets me mad. All the relocations, it drives me up a wall. I say that all the time. The Raiders are not in Oakland anymore. They're now in Vegas. Ugh. Congratulations to all my friends in Vegas. Enjoy the football. Now, with these second-year quarterbacks, I'm going with Kyler Murray. I think he has the weapons. I think he has the offensive talent around him. I think he's more athletic than every other one of these quarterbacks that I just named. So I want to open up the phone lines, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Which quarterbacks, moving into their second year, who do you think's the best? Who has the most talent? Is it Haskins? Is it Kyler Murray? Is it Daniel Jones? Locke? Gardner Minshew? Am I omitting Gardner Minshew and his talent? Call up. Let me know. I think Kyler is head and shoulders above the other guys. Call me up. 855-212-4CBS. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. In hopes that we have NFL football later on this year, Dwayne Haskins has been preparing. Yes, Washington Redskins fans, you should be happy. He says he lost weight, and he says, I won't necessarily say it's just about football. It's with everything in life. I'm going to deliver. It's never a question about that. When you think about quarterbacks who had their rookie season last year, they have that under their belt. Who are you most excited about? Is it Dwayne Haskins? Is it Daniel Jones? If he cuts down on the turnovers, I think he's amazing. Is it Drew Locke? We've only seen him in 5 games. Hell, we only seen Haskins start 7 games. We saw a whole lot of Kyler Murray. Hopefully he can avoid all of the sacks, but it looks like he's going to continue to be a dual threat quarterback. And then you have Gardner Minshew, who a lot of people just throw away because I guess he plays for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So the phone lines are open right now, 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. They've introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Go to geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. With the second-year quarterbacks, who do you think is going to be the best? I like Kyler Murray. I like his immediate future with the weapons that he has in front of him. And I like his long-term future because of his athleticism, especially with how the quarterback position is moving. So let's not waste any time. Let's hit these phone lines. We got Troy. He's calling up from Baltimore. Troy, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Give me a second-year QB. Who's going to have a good career?
I get your points on Kyler Murray, but he's barely 6 foot. And I don't know, man. Arizona don't have the best talent. I mean, they got DeAndre Hopkins and maybe
Fitzgerald and Kirk.
Yeah, but Fitzgerald on his last leg. I'm going with them. I'm going with Denver and Drew Locke. They put a lot of young talent around them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's athletic too. He can move around. He's not as athletic as Kyler, but I think he got a big arm. He can put the ball in tight windows. I'm gonna go with Drew.
Yeah, Drew lit it up in Missouri. I just want to see a little bit more of him. That's basically what it boils down to. I want to see,
I agree.
I saw what he's done the entire season. Kyler, I saw what he did the entire year. I want to see what Drew can do. And I don't know. I mean, listen, Russell Wilson, he ain't tall. What's the height got to do with anything?
I mean, he's shorter than Russell, though.
Yeah, but he's shown that he can get the job done, didn't he?
Well, but, you know, the short quarterbacks, they got to move out of the pocket.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that the way?
See the field.
Isn't that where the NFL is going, though?
It is. It is. But, I mean, listen, I'm saying he had the larger sample size because he played the whole season.
And he was an offensive rookie of the year with it.
Yeah, he was. But the other guys didn't. James Jones came in halfway through.
He got 13 started. He started 13 games.
So 13? Okay. But, I mean, and then Haskins, he only played 7. Drew only played 6 or 5. Let's give him a whole season and see how they play. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Troy, for calling up from B-More. Shout outs to Troy. Let's stay in Baltimore. Let's talk to Roger. Roger, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Which second-year quarterback showed you the most last year?
Hey, Jared. I'm going to go. No doubt Kyle Murray has the most upside going forward. He's like a step shy of Lamar and Patrick. Drew Lock has a lot of pressure. You don't know what kind of quarterback you're going to get, especially in a tough division. But I'm going in on him here, Jared. I'm looking at Daniel Jones, and I'll tell you why. The quarterback play in the East and the team is kind of questionable. It's not that Dak isn't great. The scheme, what kind of team the Cowboys want to be, do they want to run or they want to pass? You give the Giants with Jones a full slate of non-injuries, Tate, Slayton, Ingram, and a healthy Barkley, they can really do some damage and compete this year. I think has a good upside going forward in that division.
Yeah, I mean – the thing about Daniel Jones, and I like how you mentioned his weapons, I feel like the New York Giants and their receiving crew hasn't been healthy, I want to say, in forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about even at a tight end position, you got somebody like Ingram who is basically a wide receiver, and it's like, damn, everybody has always been hurt every year. It's like a hamstring, a concussion. It's like, can the New York Giants put out some healthy wide receivers?
That's the question. If they can remain healthy, because you look at the Eagles, they're always hurt. The Redskins' defense,
the quarterback's always
isn't there yet. The Cowboys are still the prime team, but the Giants could sneak on you, and especially the way things go with the virus and all, you just never know. But without a doubt, you're hands down. Kyle Murray with Hopkins, look out, and Drake, look out.
Yeah, that's a lot of touchdowns on the way. Thank you, Roger, for calling up from Baltimore. You know, I'm hesitant with the Giants. Because outside of Odell Beckham Jr., it's like everybody was always been hurt. Even if you think about a few years ago, like I said, before Odell left, it's like you have Sterling, and then you also had Mr. Salsa Man and Victor Cruz, and he's hurt. It's the Giants have had amazing receivers. I don't know. Let's call it the Plaxico curse. Since Plaxico shot himself, it seems like every wide receiver that the New York Giants that's come in has been amazing, but then they've been hurt. They've had some type of injury. It sucks. And yeah, listen, New York. Well, I know you mentioned the Dallas Cowboys. With all the offense they have, they're going to be lighting it up. And at least people have chilled out on Dak Prescott's contract. You don't hear as much about Dak in his contract as recently. I don't know if I'd go ahead and say the New York Giants are ready to win the division. I would primarily still say that that'll be a fight that the Cowboys have to lose. Hopefully the Cowboys don't lose it like they did last year with their new coach McCarthy in the building. And it's interesting to me just how many people don't look at Gardner Minshew. I think he had a great first year as a rookie QB. Is he going to have all of that in the future? I don't know. I don't even know if his coach is going to be around the next several years. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are a dumpster fire anyway. You actually have an opportunity to build up the team for the first time since Tony Boselli and Tom Coughlin were out there. You have this amazing defense, and now you got guys who don't even want to play on the team. You have these violations because Coughlin was running it. So I think Gardner Minshew, does get lost. I think Gardner Minshew just so happens to be in a situation where, unfortunately, he may not be able to win. There's a couple of quarterbacks I feel that way about. I already mentioned the New York Jets and Sam Darnold. I look at the clock. I looked at the clock when they drafted Sam Darnold, and I said, I hope they don't screw this guy up. And it looks like he might be on the way. I hope not. Get him a couple of offensive linemen, get him some offensive weapons. Let's try to keep Sam Darnold upright. They're just certain franchises that just can't get out of their own way. I mean, if Joe Burrow does a half of what he did in college, the Bengals won't be in the trash can. It's just an interesting situation. Look, folks, we've been talking about football and a sport that we hope's come back or hope that comes back. But when we come back from break, I'm going to be chatting it up with Patrick Mortaglu. He's the tennis coach to Serena Williams, and he's doing something with tennis right now. If you're not into tennis, I'm going to tell you, he's going to tell you why you need to be. Don't move. It's the JR Sport Brief here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. On the phone lines right now is Patrick Mortaglu. He is not only one of the best tennis coaches in the world, coaching Serena Williams, Coco Gauff. He is also the chairman and CEO of the Ultimate Tennis Showdown. Patrick, thanks for taking the time to hop on.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
No doubt about it. Now, I got to ask you, you're a top coach. I'm going to ask you about Serena and Coco, but tennis. You started UTS. It's something that's going to be running until July 12th. Why did you start this? What needs to change about tennis to invite fans in?
Well, the tennis format exists for more than 100 years and has never been changed. I'm not saying it should change because there are millions of fans around the planet who like it the way it is, but tennis is struggling to get new fans on board. The figures are quite scary when you see that the average age of the tennis fan is 61 years old and that it gets 1 year older every year. That just shows that we're tennis is unable to renew its fan base. And I think the format is the reason for that because, you know the world has changed so much those last 10 years, especially in the way people are consuming videos. There is also a lot of competition because sports is in competition with the social medias, with Netflix, all the sports against each other, plus the video games, the esports. So when the format is a bit old-fashioned, I think it's a no-go for potential new fans. My idea was that I think that the tour should stay the same again because a lot of fans love it the way it is. But I'm proposing another tour. In a way, another circuit that is different, that is proposing a completely different format that I think is more adapted to the way people are consuming videos and sports will also in the future.
That sounds good to me. I mean, we talk every single night about other sports like baseball and how they need to start attracting a younger viewership by speeding up the game. With UTS, what adjustments are you making for tennis? A lot of people love tennis only maybe in a grand slam, but a lot of the matches can tend to go on for a long time.
Well, it's a completely different format. We decided to run the matches with a clock, like in NBA, for example, like in soccer. So the match, a tennis match at UTS lasts 1 hour, divided in quarters of 10 minutes. So it's an experience that is extremely fast, dynamic, very emotional because we also have included the coaching timeouts. We also have cameras and microphones in the player's box to get to feel the tension in the box and the discussions in the box. So the format is different. I think really exciting, and the players have loved it. We also propose a very immersive experience because we are, in a way, we are in the head of the player because at every changeover, the players are interviewed by the commentators, and they give a lot of their feedback about the quarter that just has been played, their tactics and everything. We also hear the coaching sessions, the timeouts. So we're also into the strategies of the players and the discussions with the coaches. So this is also completely new and completely different. And it's a storytelling. It's not only two guys hitting a tennis ball and trying to win. It's also a story with different actors, which are the coach, the families, and all those discussions. So I think it's a completely different experience, and I'm really happy after this first weekend, because we play only on weekends, that the players have loved it. The feedbacks from the players are amazing, and this was, I think that was a bit of danger, because it's so different for them compared to what they do the whole year, but they've enjoyed it a lot.
This sounds like a lot of fun. Anyone who is interested, UTSLive.tv. We're chatting it up with Patrick Moritoglou. You heard it. UTS, he's just started chairman and CEO. And at the same time, he's been a coach to Serena Williams, also Coco Gauff. You talk about introducing younger people to the game of tennis. You coach a legend. You also coach a young phenom. How is someone like Coco Gauff going to be instrumental in bringing youngsters and youth to tennis outside of her own success?
Well, I'm not coaching Coco. I'm involved, but she's working at my tennis academy since she's 10 years old. But her father is coaching her and actually is doing an incredible job, because I think the results speak by themselves.
Yeah.
I think Coco is as we could also see lately, she's much bigger than tennis. She's an incredible personality. She's a future champion. She's beaten already a lot of records of precocity. She's special. You know, when you meet someone who's special, you know it straight away. And I met her when she was 10. I remember her coming to my tennis academy at 10 years old, hoping to get into the program. And I remember telling my people that, you know, she's special. She's really special. She thinks like a champion. She has an incredible self-confidence in her abilities to achieve her dreams. And she's an incredible competitor as well. And what she's done lately, and it's, I mean, I don't know if you saw and heard the speech she's given.
Oh, beautiful, yes.
After those events, terrible events in the U.S. But, I mean, this is for someone who's 16 years old to be able to do something like that. It's just, I mean, it's unbelievable, I think. So it says so much about how much she can become influential in the future and an inspiration for younger generations.
Well, she's certainly inspirational and influential right now. It's only going to continue to grow. We're on the line with Patrick Moritoglou. Patrick, you do coach and are more one-on-one with Serena. She's made it clear that she's going to participate, and she plans to participate in the U.S. Open. We've had some other players who have shared their concerns. Obviously, she's sitting on the 23 Grand Slams, trying to tie for that 24. What is her current status in competition? Obviously, she's had to deal with plenty of injuries and also childbirth a few years ago. What is her current status as a player and being in shape?
Well, you said it. She had a baby. She was 37 years old when it happened, and it's such a transformation for a woman, both physically and I think also emotionally and mentally. And you have to get used to that, and you have to deal with that, and you have to bring your body back in shape. And she's done such an incredible amount of work with such an intensity to get back in shape. I've been so impressed, because you have no idea about how much effort she put there, because she really wants to beat that record. It's really on the line, and she feels she can do it. She's been close, because she's reached the last 2 years 4 Grand Slam finals, but she's lost the 4 of them. I mean, there is clearly something missing still. Even though she's close, because when you reach the final, you're just one match away from achieving your goal. So then the break happened with this COVID-19 crisis, not being able to practice. So she stayed at home for a few weeks doing nothing, because also she needed to recover. She had a a knee problem, and then she started to do some fitness, and restarted practicing tennis 2 weeks ago. I think for all the players, it's extremely challenging not to know whether they're going to play tennis in competition or not, and when. Right. It's going to be this year. It's going to be next year. You know, when you don't have this goal, short-term goal, it's extremely difficult to push as hard as you should at practice. But now she knows she'll be playing the U.S. Open. She has this in mind, and it's time to push hard. She's been also practicing with guys, like professional players who are around. And unfortunately, I'm not in the U.S., so she practices without me. But she's sending me some videos of her practice sessions, and we discuss on the phone. She's filming herself. We do it the best way. But, you know, for all the players, it's really a special situation. So everybody's going to try to deal with it the best possible way, and we'll see what's going to happen.
Certainly. We've been living in a digital and virtual world, and it's not surprising that Serena is sending you videos as to how she's performing and training at the same time. Patrick Mouratoglou is on the line with us, UTS Tennis, starting that up. Are you comfortable at this point in time, or maybe it's going to be several months, are you comfortable with joining her in New York City for the U.S. Open?
Yes, I will, 100%, if she wants me to. I'm saying that because I'm not sure about the rules, but I heard that there was only one person per player that was admitted. So if it's the case, we need to discuss. Actually, we're supposed to discuss today or tomorrow about it, because I guess you will also want her daughter to be with her. She hasn't spent one day without her since her birth.
Wow.
So I don't think she's going to do it. So maybe she will go to the U.S. Open with a new coach who's 1 year old, and maybe she'll have a great success. Who knows?
Well, I think if she wins a Grand Slam without you and her daughter is the coach, Pat, I think we may have to find you some new people to coach, man.
I think so, too. So I hope it's not going to happen. No, I hope it's going to happen. I mean, if she can win her 24 Grand Slams, that's with or without me is not the point. Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. I don't know the situation exactly. Mm-hmm. I don't know the conditions. And I need to speak to her to see what she wants to do.
Awesome. We're chatting it up with Patrick Mouratoglou. I think what you're doing with the Ultimate Tennis Showdown is amazing. Here in the United States, obviously, with the growing ages of baseball and golf and the fans who view it, soccer and basketball are on the younger end, more average ages, closer to 40. What do you think about the potential growth of tennis here in the United States of America, and what are any future plans for UTS here as well?
Well, you know, if you want the young generations to start to play tennis, to become champions in one country, I mean, young generations have to be attracted by the product. I think the product is not attractive to the younger generation for the reasons that I explained, so I think it's extremely important to propose UTS. I think it can change things because I think it's a good product for young people also, and this would change everything. So more about the U.S., you know, it's all about the champions you have. You saw that with Serena and Venus' success those last 15 years, a lot of young women started to play tennis because Serena and Venus became role models, and now we have a lot of young, very good American women playing tennis.
Yeah,
Sloane Stephens, Madison Keys, and of course others. And I think they are also the result of the success of Serena and Venus. Now, on the men's side, we don't have the same success in the U.S. No more Sampras, Agassi or McEnroe and Connors.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what we need. We need one guy to really reach the top of the game, be inspiring, and then you can produce a lot of young generations of champions.
There's no doubt about that. Patrick, I appreciate the time. Where can people follow you as well as UTS?
On our platform, so on our OTT platform, we have 100% of the matches in live, so around 40 matches per month, plus all the replays, all the TV shows and everything. And the address is utslive.tv.
Big shout outs and much thanks to Patrick Mouratoglou for coming through and dropping some info. Because we all know there are a lot of sports that we may not see later on this year, or actually right now, but that's something that Patrick has going on every single weekend. So go ahead and check that out. And if you're looking for a sports fix, it's not a bad deal. It's certainly not. We got to wait a few more weeks until we get back to NBA. We have to wait a few more weeks until hopefully we have Major League Baseball. And you know what? We're going to take a break in a few seconds, but I got to tell you, I'm going to give you the full update when it relates to Major League Baseball. This is literally as the world turns. The updates just keep on coming. And then there's even some interesting rules that would be a part of the game. Not only would we have these expanded playoff rosters, but we would have like a DH just permanently. These pitchers wouldn't be out there swinging. And I guess that makes plenty of sense. You don't want them out there swinging towards injury. So there's a whole lot to discuss. We spent time opening up the show talking about the NFL and if its protocols are actually conducive to having a healthy season. And when we come back from break, I want to talk to you about Major League Baseball. It's going to be extremely difficult for them as well. Don't get me started, but I am. Find me online, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at JR Sport Brief. And, you know, at the same time, you can call up anytime. That's what the number's for, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. More JR Sport Brief show when we come back. It's time to update you on a soap opera that is Major League Baseball. It's the JR Sport Brief show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.